Hey everyone, welcome back to the Percy Jackson and Poseidon podcast. This is going to be my review for episode 2 of the show, Percy Jackson and the Olympians. So I'm starting to think that all of the episode titles for the show are going to be named after chapters in the book. So the second episode is actually the title of chapter 6, I Become Supreme Lord of the Bathroom, which is a reference to the bathroom scene in this episode, and it's also from the book, of course. And so I really like that they're continuing with that and they're bringing a lot of these elements in from the book, so it kind of feels like you're really getting that vibe that the book had. So this whole episode is all about Camp Half-Blood, introducing us, the audience, and Percy to the camp and what it's like and everything. And so I really like that because camp was always like one of the more fun things in the books that I really liked exploring. So the episode opens with Percy waking up in the big house at camp. And Annabeth has, like, been watching him in his sleep, and I think there's even, like, she even says, like, you drool in your sleep, which is, like, a line from the book. So I like that, and then Percy wakes up, and Grover wants to talk to him, but Percy doesn't want to talk because of what happened in the first episode with Grover, so Percy just says, you know, he thinks he can go find his dad, and so he goes, and he runs into Mr. D, aka Dionysus, the god of wine, and thinking he can help, and Mr. D kind of tricks him. And I like how honest and sincere Percy is, like, trying to ask, like, he's trying to believe all this stuff is real, so he's trying to ask Mr. D. He's, like, taking Mr. D really seriously, and Mr. D's kind of, like, you know, plays a little prank on him, pretends to be his dad and everything. It's kind of a little fun scene. It's a good introduction to Dionysus. And I gotta say, I was nervous at first to have the casting of Jason Mantzoukas as Mr. D, because I know him from all his comedy work, and I just thought it would just come off as too comedic and over the top. And he's actually good in this episode. He actually doesn't come off that way. He's not overly comedic, which I really like. And he does feel very similar to the character from the book. There's a lot of, you know, he gives off that, you know, that arrogant sort of old grump man type of vibe that Mr. D had in the book. So I like that. I did like Stanley Tucci as Mr. D in the second movie. I thought he did a good job as well. But this is sort of the same character, just a little different version. So I think it's a good introduction to Mr. D. And then we get introduced to Chiron in his centaur form. And I like that one of his horse legs has, like, a brace on it, because that fits with why he's in a wheelchair when he's in his, human form. He's hiding. So I like that little, just a little tidbit. And so Chiron shows Percy around the cabins. And I just love the look of Camp Half-Blood here. I think they just nailed it. The production design did a great job. You know, I love all the cabins in the circle. You know, it looks and feels like the camp from the book. It just looks beautiful. So I really like that. You know, and I love that we get to spend this whole episode at camp and really immerse ourselves in it. And, you know, because camp is one of the funner elements of the book, so I just really like that. And I think they did a great job bringing it to life. And this episode has, you know, the fun Percy that I was kind of, you know, Percy being a kid that I kind of thought was missing in the first episode. You know, I love the montage of Percy trying, you know, different activities, and he's not good at anything. And it just shows us, you know, more of the camp and the lives of the campers. And Percy gets to, you know, be that little kid at camp that I think that the first episode he was just too serious. And this one he kind of is a little bit lighter, you know, at least he feels a little bit more like a kid at camp. And I really like that aspect. And then there's, like, a weird scene where Grover goes to meet the Council of Cloven Elders, who we don't get to see, but he's, like, greeted by, like, this wood nymph. It's actually pretty cool makeup job on the wood nymph, but she looks too old to be, like, Juniper, who was his girlfriend in the books. She has, like, more of, like, a motherly vibe towards him. And we don't see her again in this episode, so I'm not really sure what that was about. It feels just a little bit odd of a moment, I think. But we do get to see Chiron and Mr. D playing cards, just like they do in the book. So that's kind of always like a fun little detail. And so we also get Percy seeing and hearing the visions and voice of Kronos, which is in the books. And it's a great way to set up the villain from the books. And it's being set up pretty early on in the show. And because the movies, they didn't do that. They forgot about Kronos in the first movie. And so I like that it's being set up here and that we're seeing Percy hearing those voices and everything, because that's going to come back later. So I really like that. Then there's also a really sweet scene where Percy offers his mom's blue candy like, he offers, like, you know, which is also from the books, which is cool. So he burns the blue candy as an offering to the gods, hoping he can, like, give her a message. Because he, you know, at this point, Percy still doesn't know she's alive. But it's a really great scene because it continues to show their strong relationship, you know, how much they mean to each other, which is a good reminder because at the end of the episode, Grover does tell Percy that his mom's alive and with Hades. And so it gives Percy that motivation that he needs to go save her. After he had just told Chiron he wasn't going to go to Hades, now he has the motivation he needs to go to Hades. So I really like that aspect. I'm curious if in the next episode we'll get Percy going to the Oracle for a quest, because the movies also skipped the Oracle. But at the end of this episode, Percy just accepts Chiron's quest. So I'm hoping that they don't leave out the importance of the Oracle. I hope we do get to still see the Oracle in live action and how that plays out. Because it is a big part. The Oracle is a big part in the books. And so I really hope we do get to see that. And so we do get to meet more of the campers here, which is really cool. I like the introductions of Luke and Clarice. Luke comes off as this, you know, takes Percy under his wing type of mentor, you know, friend character, which is really cool. And I think his friend might be Chris Rodriguez. And then Clarice comes off as this bully that wants to, just like the books, I mean, you know, and so she challenges Percy and all this stuff. And so it really is just things that, like, happen in the books. And we even get a quick glimpse of, I believe, Beckendorf from Hephaestus' cabin. So that's kind of cool too. So I like getting to see all these. And of course, we meet Annabeth in this episode. And it's a great introduction to Annabeth as well. She's, you know, watching Percy in the bathroom scene with Clarice. And she's ones that... to witness Percy using his water power to defeat Clarice in the bathroom. And I believe that's where maybe Annabeth starts to suspect that Percy might be the son of Poseidon, because at the end of the episode, she just pushes him into the water like she's, like, waiting for something to happen, like she knows almost. And so I kind of like that. I like this version of Annabeth. I think the actress is doing a good job capturing the spirit of the character. Like, Annabeth is kind of like an antagonistic character towards Percy. Like, especially in the first, like, book, she doesn't really like Percy that much. Like, it's throughout the course of the books that their friendship and relationship start to develop. So I really like, we are keeping that, like, distance with Annabeth here, because that is from the books as well. And then we get the capture of the flag scene, which I think is really fun. They did that in the movies, and this is kind of similar to that a little bit, except for Percy is, you know, kind of... he can sort of fend off Clarice and her two friends, but he's also, like, fumbling as he's doing it and, like, making a lot of mistakes. And so he's not perfect, but because he is one of the big three, he can defend them. And then, of course, I like the reveal when Poseidon claims him, he's got the big trident above his head, and that is directly from the books. And so I really like that little attention to detail. And, of course, the water heals him. And so I really like the capture of the flag scene, and Annabeth has her invisible cap, which is... I think just another little detail from the books that we're really making sure that the show brings those in. And also adds a little bit of the fun, whimsy, like, this is a magical world. Like, isn't that cool? There's an invisible cap. So I really like those little details there. And then we get, like, a little bit of, like, exposition and stuff here, like, from Chiron. Well, especially at the end, Chiron tells Percy all about the lightning bolt obviously being stolen and on the war between Poseidon and Zeus, and then, you know, the Hades thing. And then also Luke mentions to Percy the rule of the big three, the pact that they made about not having children. And then he also talks about his past relationship with Annabeth and how he met Annabeth, and he and Talia, you know, took Annabeth under their wing, but then Talia didn't make it. And if you read the book, she gets turned into the big pine tree. And so I really like adding those a little bit, and they sprinkle it in so it's not like giant exposition dump. So I do like that. So we are getting that past history between Luke and Annabeth. It's actually not my favorite thing from the books, but I'm hoping the live action show will do better to really kind of lean into that relationship and really make it feel more emotionally satisfying than it was in the books. I always felt the books, that the relationships kind of felt a little empty. We didn't see enough time with Annabeth and Luke to really understand that. And so I do like that Luke is the one kind of giving a little bit of that past history here to help build that connection a little bit. So, yeah, so there's a lot of good stuff here in the second episode. I really love taking place at camp. I think Percy is doing, you know, is much better character, bringing that, you know, sort of kid stuff out a little bit. Again, all the actors are doing, you know, a really good job. Grover is still a good character. I like the introduction to Mr. D and Annabeth and all the new characters. And so, yeah, so far, the first two episodes of the show are really good. They're not great. Like, they didn't hit it out of the park. There's a few little flaws here and there. I still feel this episode's longer than the first one, so it doesn't feel as rushed. But there's a few moments throughout this episode that I wish we could just lingered on a little bit more. But other than that, I really enjoyed this episode. I love everything at camp, and I just thought it was fun finally getting to see the world of Camp Half-Blood come to life, as Percy does. And we're getting those bits of information. I really hope we get the Oracle in the third episode, and our trio is going to go on that journey. And yeah, so I'm really looking forward to the rest of the season. Hope it's as good as the first two episodes. Those are my thoughts on the second episode of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. And yeah, let me know what you guys think in the comments below. Do you like this show so far? Or do you think it's not that good? I'm curious as to people who haven't read the books think of this show, because it might not be as accessible if you haven't read the books, or might not be what the story that you want or something. So I'm curious, if you haven't read the books, let me know what you guys think about the show so far. So that's it for my review. Thank you all for watching the video. Thanks for tuning in to the Percy Jackson Upside Down podcast. Stay tuned to my channel for more content. I'll be reviewing the show every week. I also have a review for the movie that will come out eventually. And I still need to read the newest and sixth book, Chalice of the Gods. So more Percy Jackson content to come. And thank you, everybody. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. And take care and be safe. And until next time, maybe I don't need a sword. I'm gonna need a sword. Bye.